I'm amazed at how little I was taught about the Ottoman Empire. I've been taught about Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome. I've been taught about all that because that has been in the statue of Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 6. You know what I mean? As far as they'll show that. But nobody has taught on the Ottoman Empire, 1300, at 1683, and then as far as it's shutting down in 1923. It was shut down, then restarted as the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. And, you know, I don't know if you've thought about this, but when it comes to Islam, terrorism is only from 1979 on. It's only about 40 years old. Do you realize before 1980, nobody knew what a terrorist was? I mean, nobody cared that Islam was attacking Israel, you know, in the Six-Day War, Yom Kippur, and nobody cared until terrorism started touching the world. Now, for the past 40 years, terrorism has done what? It's increased. Now, this is something, and everybody asks the question, where is Islam in the Bible? Where is Islam? Well, that's not tonight. Tonight, I wanted to look at Islam, and then I'm going to draw some conclusions from it. But when you start looking at Islam, one of the things that helps you is this. You have to understand the beginning of the Jewish and the Arab nationalities or races. Islam to this day says Abraham is their rightful father, and they fight Israel because they say that's our land, that's not Isaac's land. They say that the Bible's corrupt and they negate it as a authoritative document. They hold to the Quran, and tonight I'm going to show you how corrupt it is. If you don't understand this, that Abraham, through Sarah and Hagar, you have Ishmael and you have Isaac. It's very important that you understand where Israel comes from, and it's very important that you understand Arabs. What is unique about the Arabs? If you'll read in Genesis, and that's not the Bible study tonight, but Jesus said, God told us, what about Ishmael, that boy that was born that did what? Persecuted Isaac. And that's how come Sarah said, get him out of the house. And what did God tell us? His hand shall be against every man, and every man shall be against him. He will be a warring nation until... That's why when they say we need peace in the Middle East, it's foolishness. There will not be peace in the Middle East until Jesus comes. So if you understand this biblical perspective here, Esau married back into Ishmael's line. Esau goes here, he becomes the Edomites and the Arab tribes that we know over there. And ever since then, the Arabs have hated the Jews. Later on, the Arabs would birth Islam. It would come out of the Arabs. So don't say this is the beginning of Islam. This is not. This is the beginning of the Arab races that have always hated Israel. And the land does not belong to them. That land belongs to God. God gave it to His people. So, understanding this here, and I went through and tried to track, you know, who all did Leah give birth to, and from Jacob, you know, Leah and Rachel, and then their handmaid Zilpah and Bilhah. And here's a picture of the Red Sea and two cities that you have to understand, Mecca and Medina. Mecca and Medina, you'll notice in all of the Islam country flags, Turkey, Algeria, this is another Muslim flag. Notice that the moon, the crescent, is on all of them. That's because what was Islam like before Muhammad came along? Before Muhammad came along, they worshipped Alilah and Allah, who had three daughters, and they were supposedly deities. Allah was already the name. You will find here, there is this stone, this meteorite, that Muhammad in 605 AD puts in the Grand Mosque in Saudi Arabia. So when they make a pilgrimage to Mecca, have you ever heard of that, a pilgrimage to Mecca? The word is, when they make a Hajj, they are going there to see this stone that Muhammad put, and literally, I believe it's, I can't remember the millions, but there's up to 3 million people at a time at this place right here. That stone is in the corner of is in the corner, this is called the Kaaba, and it's right in the middle of the Grand Temple in Mecca. And I didn't understand. I was like, okay, so you're supposed to take it's a 1 week thing, and I'm not going to go into the pilgrimage, but this is the key place. They say This is the legend. They say that Adam worshipped God here. In Mecca? Nah, probably not. It plainly says where the rivers joined together is where Eden was. Then they say Abraham built this place here, where he, quote unquote, worshipped God. You know, you got to link it to Abraham somehow. Then it becomes a place of idolatry, and in 605, Muhammad shows up and puts this, I just showed you the rock that was before that. He puts this meteorite. It plainly says they fell from the sky. When you look up that, it ends up being a meteor in the worship of Diana from Ephesus in the temple there. In other words, it's idolatry. I didn't know they were going there to try to touch a rock. They look in it, and this whole area, I just showed you how it's covered with silver. It's in a silver thing where they look at it. And then if you've ever seen a video of this, it's all over the internet. Millions of people literally going in a circle around this. That's what's in Mecca. This is called the Grand Mosque. The reason I'm telling you that is the worship of Allah goes back to the worship of the moon god. That's why all through the Middle East, you'll notice now the sign of Islam is the crescent. In other words, yes, it's idolatry. Yes, it's a false god, but it is a paganism that goes back before Muhammad. Muhammad just knew how to market it. He didn't invent Allah. Allah was a name that they were already using. He just eliminated everything else and said Allah is the one God and all this stuff. And I told you the Paulicians witnessed to him. He rejected the gospel. Could not imagine that God would send his son to be cursed in the place of sinful man. So when you ask a Muslim, do you believe Jesus died on the cross? They'll tell you, no, he didn't die. Well, if he didn't die, then he wasn't resurrected. The blasphemy that is involved in the Islam view of the Lord Jesus is they believe the Bible has errors in it. The Quran is the document of authority. So, all of that to say, they say Islam means peaceful or peaceful path. It does not mean that. And every Arab knows it. It is a verb tense, and I put it in your sheet there. It is a verb tense that, honestly, if you want to get into Arabic, Islam does not mean peaceful. It never has. Only Westerners believe that. Only Americans do. Every Arab knows that the word Islam means submission and obedience. Every Arab knows that. But to picture Islam to us, we have to have this, we couldn't picture anybody being that bad as wanting to blow people up, and what happened in Istanbul, that's a bunch of cuckoo birds, you know, and as the death toll rises, and it just goes on in this Western thinking. That's one reason we're doing this study tonight. Every Arab knows that the word Islam means submission and obedience. The five pillars of Islam, not going to spend a long time on it, but first of all, confession or prayers, where they confess no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. Then the daily prayers, number two, where they face Mecca. And then the giving, 2.5% is the tithe. Then they fast once a year for 30 days, but really their fast is where they don't eat during the day. That's how they eat at night and things like that in their monthly calendar. And finally, I just told you about the pilgrimage to Mecca. These five things are the pillars of Islam. Once again, as we get into these two cities here, if you'll just notice where they're at, Mecca and Medina. Mecca and Medina. It's very important. I won't show this map again. There is, in Islam authority, there is the Quran, the Hadith, and Sharia law. Sharia law is going to come from several areas. It's going to come from the statements of the Quran. It comes from other things. I simplified it tonight. There's basically three things of Islam that is their authority that you need to understand. First of all, the Quran is thus saith Allah, whoever Allah. Muhammad supposedly got this from the angel Gabriel, and Gabriel re-instructed to him this garbage. I sat down and tried to read the Quran. Because, you know, I figured, okay, how bad can this be? It's bad. It's not in any order. It's not like when you sit down to read your Bible. You know what I mean? God created the heaven and the earth, and then Noah, and then Abraham, and it's not like that. And then there's so many contradictions in it. For instance, when it starts, Muhammad writes, Alilah and Allahs, daughters, three daughters. This is deity now. He's talking about supposedly a god or a demon, however you want to say it. These three daughters of Allah can help you when you pray. Then later on in the Quran, Muhammad says this, Satan told me to say that. Those are satanic verses. Don't obey those. That's why I'm saying, if you look at the Quran like, oh, okay, Christians have the Bible and Muslims have the Quran, they're not similar. And I'll show you more of that. But there is nothing similar between the two. They are totally different books. And I heard one guy give a sermon one time on the Quran, and this was, I think, 10 years ago. And he said, I don't mean to read to you so much tonight. The sermon was an hour and a half long, and he read passages of the Quran, and I thought, I will never do that in church. It was a beating. I'll just tell you, it was a beating. The Quran is, thus saith Allah. This is supposedly what Muhammad got. When you ask a Muslim about the Quran, they first tell you there's four things. The Quran is eternal. They'll then tell you that the Quran was perfectly preserved at the time of Uthman. This is 18 years after the death of Muhammad. How come it wasn't perfect when Muhammad penned it? That's been kind of, you know what I mean, stuck in my head. You mean, let me get this straight. Gabriel told Muhammad what to write and it wasn't perfect then? So it reached a state of perfection 18 years after Muhammad? I think they had a little too much hashish. The Quran, then they'll tell you this. Number three, the Quran we have today is exactly the same as it was. And the fourth thing a Muslim will tell you about the Quran, the fourth thing they'll say is, we can prove it. We can prove it. Now watch this, watch closely. No Muslim concerning the Quran can produce any Quran past the 7th century. In other words, there's nothing before the 7th century. Muhammad died in 632, and they can't find it in the 600s. Isn't he the one you guys said penned this thing? The oldest Quran, the oldest manuscripts, is six manuscripts from the 8th century. That's going to be the 700s. Six manuscripts, and they gave the place, it's in this city, in this city, you didn't need to know that, but six manuscripts, listen closely, not one of the six agree with the Quran that they have today. But yet they told you the Quran we have today is exactly the same as it was. Not one of them are the same. Not one of the six, here we go, are you ready? Not one of those six copies is an entire Quran. The entire Quran, both parts of it, they don't have a full copy of it until the 10th century. That's the oldest manuscript they have of the Quran, which is going to be in the year 1000. Okay? It's going to be in the year 1000. These six manuscripts don't agree with each other, let alone they don't agree with the Quran. That's why some people believe this casts a lot of doubt on, well, did Muhammad really even write the Quran? Islam didn't start spreading until Muhammad died. Abu Bakr took it and started the conquering and stuff like that. I mean, Muhammad did his slaughtering, but Islam did not go on a spreading, like an aggressive takeover until after Muhammad was dead. So people are starting to wonder, because of this right here, people are saying, well, did Muhammad really even pen it? You know what I mean? As far as their claims. The Quran is in two parts. Okay, this is the best way I could explain it to you. The first 20 surahs or chapters is going to be what they call the Mecca surahs. That's going to be when Muhammad was in Mecca from 610 to 622. So the first part of it is what they call the peaceful part. And there is nothing peaceful in the Quran, and we'll show that to you. But watch this. When Muhammad was in Mecca, this is before he started. He killed a few people, but he didn't do the genocide that he's getting ready to do when he goes up to the city of Medina and he starts killing Jews, like 800 at a time. So he didn't start that. So the first part of the Quran, I have several Qurans on my computer, and I think somebody gave me a Quran. I just don't want to pay money for it. You know what I mean? That's just, I don't want to support the cause. Okay? If I have one on my computer, it's fine. The second half of the Quran is from 624 to 627 when Muhammad went from Mecca to Medina. When he was in Medina, there were three battles. In 624, there was the Battle of Badr. I think that's how you pronounce Badur. They need to put a vowel in there somewhere. Badir, Badair, Badar, Badur. Anyway, 625. Next, in 625 was the Battle of Uhud. And in 627 finally came the Battle of the Trenches. Battle of Trenches. By 627, Medina, when he moves up north, is where the theocratic model begins, and Muhammad violently starts dealing with those that oppose him. So listen closely. The first part of the Quran is what they call not as violent. The last half of the Quran, supposedly, that he penned, is where you get, a lot of the kill everyone that you can, kill them all, find them wherever they're at and slay them. And it literally, as you go through the Quran, the violence starts, it starts upscaling, okay, exponentially. 5 years after Mecca, from 622 to 627, Muhammad exterminates the Jews in that area. He does a genocide. After the Battle of the Trenches in 627, he beheaded 800 Jewish men and took the wives as concubines and sold for his men and sold the children into slavery. Somebody said, they asked the question, where does Islam get beheading? Muhammad is the model. They got it from their leader. He was the first one to do it. He killed over 800 men, got frustrated with the Jews up in Medina because they didn't support him in the battle, took 21 days to question them, and finally just said, bring them all out to me. And he, 800 in a day. That's a lot of blood. Then during his life, he had 25 people assassinated who disagreed with him. 25 people, he had them killed. Then they say in the last 8 years of his life, he led 29 battle campaigns until he was killed. And then finally, he also had planned over 30 more battle campaigns. Let me just stop here. How in the world can you compare Muhammad to Jesus? When did Jesus ever do? Who did Jesus ever have killed? Glory to God, the Prince of Peace. Jesus never did anything like that. Is Islam a violent religion? Yes, it is. By words of the Quran, by the example of their leader, Muhammad? Yes, it is. And Jesus says, no, well, Islam has Muhammad, Christians have Jesus. You cannot compare the two. One was God. I think the other one, Muhammad, was demon-possessed. Next you have, so you got the Quran. It's in two parts, right? Then you have the Hadith. The Hadith is thus saith Muhammad and his traditions. So the Quran is thus saith Allah. The Hadith is thus saith Muhammad. This gives details on carrying out the verses of the Quran. Muhammad is the model. When it says in the Quran, strike the necks of unbelievers, when you read the Hadith goes into the detail. This is how you hack a body in pieces, and this is how you cut a hand off, and this is how you cut a foot off, and this is how you, and it goes into the details of the Quran. They're two very important books. It's where Sharia law comes in. Sharia law references Quran and the Hadith. This is the religious legal system governing Islam. The Sharia law sets up the theocratic state. Allah on top, Muhammad, then Unama, the teachers, Ummah, the people or the believers, then the Al-Kafa, that's Christians and unbelievers, they're below the believers, and then you have the Kafia. You say, what is this? What's a theocratic state? When you take the government and you put a church with it, you have a church-state relationship. In America, we're in the state is separate from the church, right? We have a tendency to think that Islam is like us. It's not. It is a theocracy. Allah controls the government. The government and the church are one. And that's why we think, oh, they're like us. That's America's first mistake. They are nothing like us. Because part of it's our pride. We don't relate to other people that don't do things the way. That's why when they say we need to set up a democratic government over in Iran, you can't have a democratic government under Sharia law. The only government Sharia law allows you to have is a dictatorship. Well, they're needing time to write their constitution, and I like that statement. Well, give them ours. We're not using it. However, they can write a constitution all they want. When you go over there, listen to our soldiers talk. When they come back, they're saying they don't have a democracy over there. The elections are rigged. It's rigged in Egypt. It's rigged in Iran. It's rigged. Go to any place. But for, we're like America. There is no democracy over there. And it is because of Sharia law. Sharia law controls every aspect of your life. For instance, this is what every Muslim wants instituted worldwide. And when Sharia law is instituted, you won't read the Quran in English. You will learn Arabic and read it in Arabic. It will control your habits. It will control how you treat a woman. It will control, and I'll go into a few of the things here, but this is what they want worldwide. We are not dominion people. We are not looking for world control. We're waiting for Jesus to come back. What is our purpose? Inward, the kingdom of God is within you. We're laboring for love and faith. And I mean, we're not laboring to take. Okay, if we take Mechanicsville for Christ, it'll be through our soul winning and through church planting. It won't be because we'll get your AK-47s and we'll head on out there. They're talking about forced submission to Sharia law. We don't operate that way. That is not our theology. Amen? We are different. So you got the Quran, you've got the Hadith, you do need to just be exposed to that, and you have Sharia law. This is how come Ben Carson said, every Muslim is a threat to the Constitution of the United States. We're a country that does not discriminate between religions. Okay, I don't know of another religion that tells its people to go into countries and tolerate them until you can take them over. Buddhists don't do that. Confucius don't do that. Do you know who does do it, though? Catholics and Muslims. Do you know why? Because they're dominion theologians. When we say we're pre-tribulation, we believe Jesus is coming for us in the rapture before the tribulation, and He's coming before the second coming. That means we're not trying to take countries by force. A Catholic believes Jesus is coming afterwards. In other words, it's their job to make the world better and better and better so Jesus can come back. They're post-millennialists. They read the Bible totally different. One, they're lost. We're Baptist. We read the Bible literally. When it says 1,000-year reign, it means 1,000-year reign. It means what it says. We're not trying to take over the world so Jesus can come back. We understand evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And I love what one preacher said. You can tell when you're in the right doctrine when you're going down, just like this. Everything goes down. Except salvation. Right? Everything man touches turns to manure. When Jesus comes again, He's going to say, let me show you how it's done. Watch carefully for 1,000 years. As you go through here, Sharia law, it controls everything in your life. Now listen closely, based upon a 7th to 8th century Arab culture model. For instance, when it comes to stealing, they recommend dismemberment. Let me just read it to you. You ready? In Surah 5, that's the 5th chapter and the 38th verse of the Quran. It says, and as for the man and the woman addicted to theft, cut off their hands as a punishment for what they have earned. That's what you're supposed to do to a thief. That's why to this day, there's pictures of them. I mean, a boy was caught. This stupid thing's on YouTube. But a boy was caught stealing and they stretched out his hand and they cut off his fingers. I mean, right there. They didn't like zoom in at it, but yeah, right when they put the axe on it, then he screamed. They do that to this day. Do you know why? Because Sharia law says do that. It says carry out the Quran. There was a thing in doing the study for this. Two butchers didn't prepare the meat according to custom or Sharia law, whatever it says they're supposed to do. Halal meat. Don't ever go to a restaurant where it says halal. You'll miss work the next day. I'll just tell you that. Okay? And you might miss it 2 or 3 days. It's a nasty place. It's a place where they can bring in meat and they don't have to observe, you know, USDA cleanliness and stuff like that. But they had a lot of those in New Jersey. And I was like, sweetie, we are not shopping there. We are not shopping there. At any rate, they brought out two butchers who didn't prepare the meat right. Stretched them out and they had this thing that they beat them with. Right there in public, and got it all on, all for public to make an example. Sharia law requires that. When it comes to adultery, it says, anybody caught in it, now I'm not for adultery. Okay? Not at all. But here it says, they get 100 lashes. The adulteress and the adulterer flog each of them with 100 stripes. In marriage, It says polygamy is allowed. In Sharia law, you can only have four wives according to Surah 4:3. And if you fear that you cannot do justice to orphans, marry such women as seem good to you, two or three or four. Where? Nowhere in the Bible. Look, there's examples. Every home that you find that had more than one wife, Abraham's home, right? Isaac's home. Look at every home that had more than one wife. And there isn't a man that goes, boy, I wish I could have more than one wife like they did in the Bible. Because every home with more than one wife would have what? The same thing those Bible homes had. Strife. Damaging the kids and all that. No, God never told anybody. God's idea was one man, one woman, till death do they part. That was God's plan. That's why this is garbage, okay? But this is allowed in Sharia law. In Sharia law, a man can beat his wife for disagreeing with him. In Surah 4:34. According to Sharia law, a woman only has half the testimony of a man in court. If a woman says something, it's only worth half of what she's saying. Oh, there's no demoralizing of women or that in Islam. Oh my. Wait until we get in what they can be executed for. In your sheet there, if a woman is raped, she can be put to death. And she is. That one court case over there that they exposed, that one teenage girl, that 17-year-old girl that was raped by her, she said it was by her uncle, and they said because you can't identify your captors, you're to be stoned. Everybody, she was blind. And they stoned her. Islam is the only religion in the world that tells the killing of a woman that's been raped and condones rape. Okay? A man can divorce his wife, according to Sharia law, a man can divorce his wife just by saying three times, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. That's pretty... Oh yeah, it doesn't discriminate against women, and it does not. you need to understand, it goes so much worse than this, but let's keep on going through here. This is Sharia law. Islam says it's a religion of peace, but what they actually are talking about when you finally get down to it, and they know it means submission and obedience, they're talking about when there will be peace as soon as they take over the world. But until they take over the world, they'll tell you there will be no peace. Their religion is demanded by the Quran for world dominion. It's what they're told to do. There are two houses according to Islam. There's the house of Islam and there's the house of war. It's very important that you understand that. Every Muslim will talk about that. There's the house of Islam and the house of war. And if you're not an Islamist or a Muslim, you are in the house of war, and you are to be fought with and killed until you do one of two things. You die or you come over to the house of Islam. Everybody else is in the house of war. Everybody. It's the only religion in the world, I told you, that mandates violence against unbelievers. Unbelievers are required to meet on the battlefield. Surah 9:5 is called by every Muslim the verse of the sword. What does the verse of the sword say? Ready? Surah 9:5 says, so when the sacred months have passed, slay the idolaters wherever you find them, and take them captive, and besiege them, and lie in wait for them in every ambush. But if they repent and keep up prayer and pay the poor rare, leave their way free, surely Allah is forgiving, merciful. Ugh. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I like what one person said, America, you better wake up. That verse, the verse of the sword, wherever you find them, slay them. What part of kill do you not understand? Oh, well, they can't be that bad. Their Bible, their authority tells them to do that. That's why that's they're following their model. Here we go. Let's look at one more. They quote, when you ask a Muslim about peace, they quote chapter 2, verse 190. And they'll say, and fight in the way of God against those who fight against you, but be not aggressive. And that's the part they quote, right? But they never read the next verse. 191 says this, and kill them wherever you find them, and drive them out from where they drove you out, and persecution is worse than slaughter. And are you kidding me? So I'm going to ask you, are you a religion of peace? And this, they're going to quote verse 190, but the verse right underneath it says, kill them wherever you find them. No, Islam is not a religion of peace. They'll quote Surah 533 right here. This is what it says. The only punishment of those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger and strive to make mischief in the land is that they should be murdered or crucified, or their hands and their feet should be cut off on opposite sides, or they should be... They do that to this day. They cut off the right hand and the left foot. And normally the person bleeds to death. The dismemberment, the beheading, the butchery, all of that. What I'm trying to tell you is, it's not when they say Islam is peaceful and there are moderate Muslims and there are peaceful Muslims and then there are your wacko terrorists like in Istanbul and stuff. What I'm trying to tell you is only in America do we believe junk like that. Over there, they know when they're around an American, when you ask them, ask a Muslim. If an American's around, you totally change your view. Oh, that's so bad that people died. Oh, that's so bad. And when they get in their car, they'll tell you. They scream out the window, Akbar! Allah is great. Then they go watch the videos of the explosions over and over again. Ya Akbar! Allah Akbar! Hear those videos of the soldiers sitting in the weeds. They just planted a bomb and here come two of our troop carriers down the thing. Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. And you watch those guys get blown to smithereens. No, that's not, that is normal Islam. That is not extremists. That's the wake up call. That is normal Islam. Here we go. Let's look at the next one. Surah 98, verse 6. Those who disbelieve among the people of the book and the idolaters will be in the fires of hell. Okay? Surah 47, verse 4. So when you meet in battle, those who disbelieve, smite the necks. That means cut the head off. Then, when you have overcome them, make them prisoners, and afterwards, set them free as a favor or for ransom till the war lay down its burdens. That's where they get, you can tax unbelievers. That's what caused the Ottoman Empire to spread. Because right around in 1299, they quit killing people who would not convert and they started taxing them. So now you could go take over a village and, well, you don't have to totally convert to Islam, you just got to pay this tax. And then they went on another aggressive spread. And if you ever look up the Ottoman Empire, the mentality kind of changed. Well, we don't have to kill these people, we can make money out of them because the Surah says we can. Okay? Next, ready? Can I just, I want you to leave with a few things in your mind tonight. There are no peaceful verses in the Quran. The law of Allah is to be spread by force. You need to understand that. And you're not going to hear it on the news. Isn't it sad? If it happens in Istanbul, it's a terrorist attack. If it's a shooting in Orlando, Florida, it's a shooting. You know, it's something we need to ban guns over. Isn't that sad? That guy had terrorist hookups. The FBI knew it. And he had attended the bar. That means he was gay. He was a fruity. Okay? But he was struggling with his sexuality. So here's an Islamic, gay-hating gay going into a bar shooting people. And if you really want to get technical, okay, Brother Garland, he inspects liquor places. I mean, that's liquor and, no, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yep, no water in that. That's good stuff right there. No, I'm just kidding. He makes sure he understands liquor licenses for the business. businesses. Now listen closely. If they do not do according to state law handling their liquor, they're selling to minors, if they're selling what they're not approved to sell of, he fines them, and then they go to court, they can lose their license, and they make a lot of money off of liquor. Name a bar, because they're scared of losing their liquor license, that doesn't put a bodyguard and a ID checker at the front door. And they're saying this guy walked in to a bar with a pistol and a gun with a barrel 16 inches long, no coat, right, and 30 rounds of 30 clips of ammunition. Nobody's asking how did he get past the front guy at the front desk. I have a speculation, because nobody can shoot 1,000 rounds in 7 minutes. They said over 850 to 1,000 rounds were shot in 7.5 or 7. They gave the, I can't remember what the, it was seven minutes. I don't care how good you are with a gun. When we used to fire the M60, the barrel heated up. You could only fire so, and then the barrel starts glowing, and you got to stop and unhook it and and then, you know, lock and load and keep going. And if you burned up the barrel, that thing, really, he shot 1,000 rounds in 7 minutes? Or somebody else was doing the shooting? I don't know. We'll find out when we get to heaven. I don't know. I think there's too much there and there's too much skipped over. All I'm trying to say is if it happens here in America, they can't call it a terrorist attack. But if it happens overseas, you can call it a terrorist attack. But over here, it's a shooting incident where we need to limit weapons. If anything, man, I think you ought to be passing out more guns to people. Imagine what would have happened if... Well, never mind. Here we go. Islam is not a religion of peace according to the Quran, and it is definitely not a religion of peace according to the Hadith. Listen closely, because this is what we deal with on the news. There are moderate, peaceful Muslims, but there is no peaceful Islam. And whether they are moderate or radical, listen closely, because this is, they can't say the Pledge of Allegiance. And if you can't say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag in America, excuse me, you have no business here. None. Their allegiance is to Mecca. When you become Muslim, your allegiance goes to Mecca. That become, you are a Muslim first and an American second. And that stupid ad they had, I'm an American Muslim, I'm an American Muslim, I'm an American Muslim. They said it wrong. They're a Muslim American. Here we go. One more, we're almost done. What is supposed to happen to them for salvation? Allah weighs the good and bad works, but there is no certainty of salvation. But their only assurance is those who die in jihad. If you blow yourself up like those four idiots last night in Istanbul, then that's a guaranteed ticket. That's the only way Quran tells them that they're assured of heaven. And none of them can be... Isn't that sad? They said in Britain, that's how they watch for the terrorists, because when they come in, they said, every terrorist has a reality check. I'm getting ready to die. And they said in Britain, the way they spot them is they're normally, their eyes, they're focused, they're not paying attention because they're getting ready to push the button. They said they're normally heavily sweating. I'm getting ready to die. And then just the sadness of it to me as a child of God, just thinking when they finally do that, and then the burning begins. They're in hell. And then can you imagine what they're thinking as they writhe in hell? I was lied to. They lied to me. There's no virgins here. That's so sad. I don't care whether you picture the plane crashing into the towers or you picture some guy blowing himself up. That is so sad to me. The deception, and that's the devil. Watch this. Suicide is redefined and sanctioned if it is done to kill unbelievers or if it helps establish Sharia law. Yes, there are verses in the Quran that speak against suicide, but it is negated or abrogated or changed or sanctioned if you killed somebody that's an unbeliever or if Sharia law was forwarded. Upon the death of a Muslim, over in the Middle East, on the death of a Muslim, they announce their wedding and they celebrate. You know, from those screaming towers, all that stuff. They announce the wedding. So-and-so was killed in jihad, and today is his wedding day, because supposedly he's with, you know, whatever, the virgins and all that stuff. That's how they ask the question, how do you face the parents of boys that blow themselves up? And they say, well, today is their wedding day. But they're in hell burning. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Islam's paradise, I'm going to make one statement here. Islam's paradise is based on physical gratification. Okay. You can tell when Satan's involved with something when it is sex-based. For instance, Mormons believe what? The more wives you have, the more children you have, the faster you reach godhood. That is a sex-based religion. Mormon women have the highest suicide rate in the world. Now let's go to Islam. So it's not sex-based. No, but if you blow yourself up, you get all this other... No, it's sex-based. You can tell when Satan has a deceptive... Jesus said, they asked him, whose wife will she be? Remember that? Remember, he married this one, then he died, and he married his brother. She married his brother, and on seven, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? He said, you do greatly err not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Because they neither marry nor in heaven. In other words, here's your fallacy. You ready? You think that the physical union in marriage is the greatest pleasure that can be had, and heaven can't touch. I mean, heaven is so far above that. You're thinking earthly, and heaven is here. Shame on you. You have erred, and Jesus said, you do not know the power of God. That's how I know Islam is satanic. It is a sex-based religion. Islam does not allow for any treaties. They have a hudna. A hudna is a lull in the fighting while you draw back to hit again. You can do it for 10 years. That's why, have you noticed all the treaties that they sign over in the Middle East, they're eventually broken? That's called hudna. They are practicing, oh, okay, here, we'll sign a treaty. And every time they sign a treaty, they have every intention of breaking it. That's because that's what the Quran describes. They're not doing it because they're terrorists and other Islamists don't think that way. Now, if that's true, now wait a second. Lying is allowed if it's for the cause of Islam. Yes, there are two verses in the Quran that speak, you shall not tell a lie. But there are also verses that say, if it's for Allah, then you can say anything you want. That tells me this. You can't trust a Muslim. Well, he said he wouldn't kill me. Oh, okay. God bless you. You win the stupid award for the year, okay? No, he looks sincere. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. Watch this. Muslims can't say the Pledge of Allegiance. I already told you that. Muslims and Islam are here to tolerate us until they can take us over. Every American needs to know that. Our freedom of religion is looked upon by every Muslim as ignorance. There's a word they use, and I didn't put it up here, but it's the state of a nation before it's taken over by Islam. When they come to America and they see our freedom of religion, you don't have to be anything. You don't have to be Catholic or Baptist. When they see our freedom of religion, their attitude towards us is so stupid. And it's our greatest freedom. But that's their thinking. That's because that's what the Quran teaches. America's first mistake is when you think Islam is a personal religion. It is not a personal religion. Islam is a form of government first. It is a political and social system. It is not spiritual. Very important that every American understand that. I wanted to wrap up this with a few conclusions tonight. In preparing for this, I wrote down some conclusions and then we're all done. Number one, what do you do after a Bible study like this? And I know we didn't look at Scripture, but with everything we deal with on the news and I watch things, I get frustrated. We're in the Baptist history thing. We're in that era where we can look at Islam and we can do it, you know, without it seeming like I'm going off on a tangent. Number one, tonight, after looking at the religion and the deception of Satan, I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad. I look at their deception and I think tonight I hope you can thank the Lord that you're a child of God. Number two, I'd like you to see that there's no similarities between your King James Bible and the Quran. They are not similar books. There is nothing similar in them. Next, there are no similarities between Islam and Christianity. None. None. They are not similar. Next, if we ever needed to go soul winning, it's now. If we ever needed to go soul winning, it's now. Next, I know the system is broke. I'm talking the American, our system right now. But I think everybody should vote. Everybody should vote. Please vote. I know the system's broke. I know it's corrupt. You won't hear me say, oh, I'm sure that everything... I'm just saying, everybody, could I just encourage you to vote? Finally, Islam is incompatible with Western culture and our Judeo-Christian system of government. Our government was founded on Bible principles. And they do not, it cannot, I love what Ben Carson said, every Muslim is a threat to the Constitution of the United States. And to be a peaceful Muslim, they'll have verses they quote, but to be a peaceful, moderate Muslim, you have to X out large portions of the Quran. There is no such thing as a moderate Muslim. And I'm not fear-mongering tonight, but I think if we as Americans understand that, I think it helps you. It helps you see. I think one of the men doing the interview that I watched and things, he said, if a miracle doesn't take place, and I believe in miracles. He said God can do miracles. But you have to understand what we have over in England. We have over 80 Sharia law courts, 80 in England. He said, and now we can't get them out. He said America's about 7 years behind England. If something doesn't happen, it's coming here. And it's on the rise. It's not, I don't see anything stopping it right now. So I think we as Christians, we have something to pray for. Amen. We have a job to do. I think the more people that know it, I think the better and safer, the longer God can use us to help preserve peace and freedom. I realize we did not look at a lot of Bible tonight. Can I just read this to you? I love what Jesus said after coming in contact with a demoniac like Muhammad. Our Savior said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit. And he said, my burden is easy. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So tonight, praise God. We're saved. Amen. Praise God for the blood of Jesus. Now we just need to tell somebody else. Let's pray. Father, please use it tonight.